The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC Podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, here I am, Tony Lightfoot, for this edition of the TWBC Podcast, and sorry for the interruptions there with the sound quality at the beginning of this podcast, but hopefully things will resolve themselves and we'll continue to work. We've got our winners here, Regina Jaquist, only permitted to ask you one question, and then you've got to get up and get to Central Florida. Not Central Florida, the panhandle of Florida. So you must have been pretty stoked there.
Yeah, it's a great tournament. You know, Charlie and I are kind of on a roll here since we came back from Moomba, which was the Moomba Masters, our first tournament, both winning that, and now to come back and defend a title here at the Swiss Pro. You know, we're super excited. I know both of us being able to do wins at both of these tournaments behind the Ski Nautique. So it's been a great season for us to start with, and it looks awesome for our rest of the season, especially with the Nautique series that's coming into play. So, you know, that's just kind of given us a lot of boost and confidence for that, especially with having the support of Nautique behind us. But yeah, it's always special to have a win and take a win. But now to have 11 of the wins from, or 10 of the, well, no, 11 of the wins. I'm getting confused now. But to have 11 of the wins out of the 12 is really special. And, you know, when I got done skiing and I was walking down the lake, I did see the sign and, you know, see your name on there that many times. It's sometimes it gets a little like, oh gosh, how is this going to keep continuing? And it does, but I do have such a great support team, and all my sponsors have my back, and, you know, they've been there through so long, so many of those wins. And, you know, I can't do it without the boat. So Nautique's been there and good. You know, they keep innovating and keep designing. But you know, all of them, I mean, Masterline and Eagle have been out here all day, and they've given their time and their support to all of the athletes that they have. And, you know, you have all of this that makes you become, you know, the champion. And then it's, you know, your core team, your coaches, you know, with Kyle Lead and Jack Critchley and my sister and my parents. Like, it's just continuously down the list. It's not, that I did these, you know, 11 wins. It's the village, and they all know who they are, and they all have my back, and they all celebrate the wins and cry with the losses. And you know, it's a special thing, and I'm so fortunate to have that, and that's why I have 11 of my names on the Swiss Pro banner out there.
So fantastic, absolutely reliable as ever, giving us a long and succinct answer, which basically covers all of the bases. Thank you very much, Regina Jaquist. When's the next time we get to see you?
We'll be at Masters. So that will be the next event. I will be jumping and slaloming there, and then we'll have to plan June out.
All right then. So congratulations to you. As I turn my attention there to Charlie Ross.
Yes, he's going to take over the podcast and rock out.
Yes, indeed. So congratulations, Regina. We'll
Thank
see you,
you
at the Masters, and hopefully some other tournaments during the course of the season.
Sounds great. Thank you.
No worries. All right there, Charlie Ross, the men's slalom champion. Pretty much everyone that's anyone had you to win this event, and you came through clutch there, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't be happier. Thank you to the organizers. Thank you to my family and girlfriend for sitting out here with me today. And it was a special 3 rounds. Was able to put together a 6 and then a 1 and then a half at 43. So that was pretty good. Or 6 at 41. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a great little performance there. I mean, and you just continued to just a steadily growing confidence. I mean, you almost made 10.25 meters for 3 out of 3 rounds, but the first round might have given you a little bit of cause for concern, because you got round number 6 and couldn't make it through the exit gates. So how did you kind of re-amp yourself for the remaining 2 rounds? I mean, you didn't need to ski the second round. Let's make that clear. But then when it came down to the finals, you had a lot of power in reserve.
Yeah, I mean, well, the second round, or the first round was the lowest score. I mean, it was great because I was able to establish the rhythm. While I ended up missing that 41 or getting six and falling out the exit gates, I loved the start of it, and it was something that I was able to just kind of replicate and kind of find the rhythm I wanted. And so while it was a bad round, it was still a six at 41, which is never a bad round in my book, so it was good.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about other stuff that happened before this competition. You gone into 9.75 meters in another tournament prior to this one and established a pending under 21 world record. And I think actually a tie or better the Canadian national slalom record. Is that correct?
Yeah, it broke it. I had the record at 1 at 41 or at 1 at 43. Jason McClintock and I think my dad had the record with 5 at 41 before. Or I think my dad had 4 at 41, and then Jason got 5, and then ended up with a 1. And so that was pretty special because I grew up obviously skiing with my dad, but also Jason, and looking up to him and doing a bunch of sets with him. And so that was kind of special.
Yeah, he's only slightly taller than you, so it's not hard to look up to, I'm guessing. But I mean, what was the party like that night?
I would say pretty calm, I think. But I mean, that was special. And then this last week when we ran the 2 at 43, unfortunately, no party action right now. It's right in exams for Rollins, and got to get a paper in by noon tomorrow, or we're in trouble.
I'm holding you back a little bit, but hopefully not too much longer. But I mean, some great skiing today. I mean, absolutely no two ways about it. So beyond the scope of this competition, what's your next one?
I've got a couple record tournaments going up. I think one here, one at Jack's, and all of that leading into Masters. So, you know, Masters is the big one this year. That'd be a big one to get done. So
yeah, because you already qualified for that out of the Moomba Masters, right?
Yeah, and I believe out of Worlds, because Nate was qualified as world record holder, and so I believe I became qualified after a second at Worlds. But nevertheless, was able to get qualified and give yourself the shot. I mean, Robin Lake's pretty special. I've had some special rounds there in juniors, and still hoping to piece together a big one in open, and so hopefully we can do something like that this year.
Okay, so I mean, as you go through the early part of the season, you know, you're supposed to pick up little bits and pieces and try and apply that to the betterment of your skills. So, I mean, what kind of lessons have you learned so far this season? I mean, starting with the Moomba Masters, and what have you applied to your technique and to your efforts to try and hit that high echelon?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with working with Andrew Bergman and my dad and Mark Betzel and the Rollins Waterski team. We identified a few things after last season. I wanted to kind of tone down how heavy I could crank 135. I always thought it was a weapon, but I needed to be able to move through more in a balanced way to set up for 2-4 and to set up the second side. And so we did a lot of training with that, just slowly starting to essentially recreate a 2-4, and that was watching a lot of Will, a lot of Nate, a lot of Freddie, a lot of Jamie Bull.
So it was more a case of learning control with the power.
Yeah, learning control, because if like when I could crank the ski 90 degrees, it was great, but you know, that's just a lot of pressure early on, and so it would create kind of a slingshot into 2-ball in which I would have to stand it up a little bit. So we kind of worked on repatterning and getting 2-4 where I feel like it's a weapon now versus a little bit of a liability. And then on kind of a more exciting front, a lot of 43 work this winter, slowing the boat down to 34.8 and slowly being able to run it, and then slowly like just speeding it up to 35 and then trying to run it and speeding and running it, and then 35.2 and just slowly building that comfort,
controlled power and precision.
Well, that comfort, and also it's a different rhythm. I mean, it's like it's like nothing else. It's just different. So learning it.
I think someone said different is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know whether I've asked you this question, but I mean, you've got a Masters coming up, and you're not doing any of the qualifiers. You don't have to really. But beyond the scope of the Masters, have you kind of gotten your season planned out beyond that point?
Are
your adventures leaning towards Africa, maybe?
Yeah, they are. It'll go Masters, and then into Morocco. Morocco to Monaco, Monaco to, I think, to Dommartin.
And then
Botas, and then I think San Gervasio. So it's going to be a pretty not San Gervasio.
Ricciato,
yeah. I was thinking Italy.
Yeah.
That was an
easy mistake to make.
Yeah, but pretty packed end of the year here. It's exciting though. I feel like I'm skiing well, and it's a lot of record tournaments coming up, and hopefully can go for a bigger score than right now, and just sort of, I don't know, have fun with it. I'm getting to go to a new continent that I've never been to, couple places that I've been to, but places that I've loved and enjoy skiing at, and enjoy getting to see that side of the world. So
have you achieved all of the goals for this season this early on, or do you have like a higher echelon goal that you're aiming for now?
Oh no, definitely not. There's a good bit of list still to come in, and it's not really it's not really about this year. It's more about just career. You know, I want to win the Masters. I want to win the Worlds, and I really want to break the world record. So have had a couple cracks at it, and it's getting closer, I feel like, and getting more familiar, but still, three balls a far way out, so wanting to get out over to it.
Are you going to shut it down a little bit early this season, taking into consideration that you got the U21 Worlds in January and the Elite Worlds are coming up a few weeks afterwards in Australia?
Well, unfortunately, I'm out of U21. I'm too old.
You're too old?
Yeah, I'm 20. I'll turn 21 in August,
That would have been nice to have seen you at two world championships in the space of a month.
Yeah.
But obviously, you're qualified to ski in the elite worlds in the land down under. So, I mean, you're well experienced and you're well versed in what it is to ski in Australia. So, but the original premise of the question: are you going to ski up until October, or ski all the way through to the last tournament of the season, and then rest, or are you going to try and conserve energy?
You know, I don't really know yet. I think so long as if the body's in pain at any point, I'll take time off and I'll fix it. But until then, want to keep kind of going and keep learning and seeing what we can do. But you know, it is going to be a long stretch out. I didn't take much time off this winter, so we'll be kind of pacing, I think, through the winter next year, and then being able to go full throttle. But that's where I really rely on Bergs, my dad, the experience and coaches around me to kind of guide me through that. And, you know, especially when it's going to be in winter for Florida. And so we're going to be flying down, coming from winter, going over there to summer. And so there's going to be some days where it's simply too cold to ski. I mean, I know people are going to say, oh, you live in Florida. But I mean, there are some days where it got into the 30s or below zero Celsius this summer or this winter. And so, yeah, well, there'll be some time off.
And I know that you're pretty infused about skiing on the collegiate scene. You're still a skier for Rollins College, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, you can't miss the collegiate national, surely.
No, of course not. Yeah, I mean, Rollins, really, I owe them a lot. It's Coach Mark and my teammates and my friends. And
the rough water lake that you train on.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of funny. I mean, Rollins was not my first choice. Rollins was not one of the schools I was really wanting to go to, and I look back on it and I'm so grateful.
Care to share what your other choices might have been?
Well, I had a full ride to the University of Florida, to the University of Miami, and I got accepted into Rice's sports management program in Houston. It's the number one sports management school in the world, with its acceptance rates like in and around 4-5% into that school. So I got in, and I was that was always something that I wanted to do, but you know, I mean, academia can wait. I'm still studying right now, getting an economics, computer science, and maybe a math degree. We'll see. But
of course, there's graduate degree options as well beyond the scope of what you're doing in Rollins. So I mean, you can probably hold off on going like too deep into the weeds academically until you know that you can schedule that and still be competitive on the water, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, looking back on it, leaving Central Florida would have been the biggest mistake I could have meant. I mean, the skiing here is, it's like nothing else. And going back to Rollins, like I like my friends there, they've changed me. I've grown up a bunch, and I've kind of gotten out of my shell because they forced me to, and my teammates too. Like, we train together every day, we push each other, and Coach Mark is always there to support us and help us along the way. So it is a really special time.
So big shout out to Regina Jaquist for answering one or two questions rather long-windedly enough to accommodate two or three questions from anybody else, but she had to take to the road. So do you. You're gonna get some studying done. You've got a report that's out in less than about 18 hours, would say, something like that.
So yeah, it might be a long night.
But I'm sure it will. We'll give you an opportunity to thank those nearest and dearest to you as we put a lid on this edition of the TWBC podcast.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you to my family. Thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. And thank you to my girlfriend for being out here and supporting me all day. Thank you to my sponsors, D3, Masterline, Nautique, Six Turn Capital, Muskoka 365, Winter Garden Water Ski. It's a long list, but it's a list that each one is integral into supporting me and helping me achieve stuff like this. And so always grateful for them. And thank you to the event organizers. Thank you to you, Tony. It was a special day and happy to be able to participate.
Glad to share in the festivities. And that concludes this edition of the TWBC podcast with Regina Jaquist and Charlie Ross. We'll have another podcast episode coming through very, very soon. But until that time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.